We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 610 presents former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner and Ron the Show Hughley. It's Clint Sterner and the Show.
Oh, Dirty, we got to hear from the coordinators today. Brand new play callers on special teams, a defense and offense. Tim Kelly spoke today, and all we've been talking about this offseason, mostly in terms of weapons, are the receivers. You lost DeAndre Hopkins, man. You got Cooks, you got Cobb. What's Will Fuller going to do? Well, hang on to your hats, man. This may be the year of the running backs, because the way Tim Kelly spoke about David and Duke Johnson leads me to believe that he sees a ton happening with that group. Here is Tim Kelly, offensive coordinator for the Houston Texans, speaking about how he may use the backs this year.
I think one thing that philosophically is that we're always going to try to do what's best for the offense in terms of the different running schemes and trying to put the defense in conflict. So any way that we can try to do that, we're going to continue to do that. I mean, obviously, David's a very talented football player. He's not just a great runner. He's obviously talented in the passing game, as is Duke. So we're in a very unique situation here to have two guys that we trust to not only be effective running the ball, but dangerous in the passing game also. And we're going to do what we can to, again, take advantage of the matchups that they're going to present.
Take advantage of the matchups the running backs may present, Clint. Hey, this may be the year of the back in the Texans offense.
It should be. It should be. I mean, when you take away a player like DeAndre Hopkins and you add different weapons across the board, and for months now the message is we got to distribute the football to the open guy. Now you got Tim Kelly talking about mismatches in terms of the running backs. You know they're going to be multiple in formations and shifts and motions and things like that that'll give them an advantage before the ball's ever snapped. And when I hear talk about David Johnson and taking advantage of those matchups right there, this is something that fans should see immediately. Like, there's a lot of things that we discuss.
You think fans should see this immediately?
Oh, yeah. No question. Really? No question. I mean, this is something, a lot of the stuff we discuss, you know, I get a little bit deep maybe, or maybe it's something like this, a situation in a game has to come up for them to see a lot of tempo being used maybe. You know, there's just different things that are maybe a little more difficult to see than others. This is one of those things where you should see David Johnson in particular. I know Duke Johnson's a good player. I know he's a player that can catch the ball in the backfield.
People said he didn't get the ball enough last year.
Yeah, and I'll agree maybe to a certain extent, given the fact that he was such a different weapon than Carlos Hyde. But I still think that Duke Johnson is a third down back. Duke Johnson is a smaller back frame-wise that I don't know if you want him doing a lot of the first and second down grunt work. I don't know that he's going to ever get you, at least in a perfect world, that he's ever going to get the number of snaps that he needs to be equal to or greater than a David Johnson or a Carlos Hyde. Or I don't know that he can tote that load. But David Johnson in particular, show, this should be something that week one versus Kansas City, Thursday night, big stage, bright lights, only game in town. At the very least, you should see David Johnson, and it should jump off the screen that the difference. You should see him moving a lot before the ball snap. Starting the backfield, go in motion out wide, maybe motion to the tight end box, and then hit him in the flats with a pass real quick. Or if they jump him, then you hit the tight end behind him. Shifting, same thing, pre-snap, before the ball's ever snapped. Just on a cadence call, like a ready, boom, and everybody shifts and scatters into a different formation. David Johnson from the backfield should be a package, should be involved in a lot of that right there. Start him out wide and then shift him, boom, back to.
He has great receiver skills. I've seen him start out, seen the Cardinals start him out wide and then use what you wish the Texans would do better, the screen game off of that and make it a wide receiver screen and get the ball in his hands in open space like that.
Well, now you're talking about, you know, like I said, like there's a lot of things, depending on how the defense plays him, is going to depend whether we see him catch the go route or we see him catch the screen. He's definitely capable of those things and doing those things at a very, very high level. In fact, you know, that aspect of his game is damn near receiver-like. He's not just a back that can catch the ball out of the backfield. He adjusts on the ball well. He does receiver things as a running back, and he makes it look easy. But the blatantly obvious aspect of this is the pre-snap stuff, show. Is he should constantly be moving pre-snap early in games because you want to see what how is the defense going to adjust. Make the defense – this is a guy that – I don't know statistically what the hell he's going to do. I don't know what he's going to rush for. I don't know what he's going to catch for. Obviously, defenses are going to dictate that.
What's his impact going to
be? Oh, my God, Joe. You're talking about a guy that when he starts moving, the defense has to make calls, right? The defense has to adjust accordingly. And this isn't Carlos Hyde in the game, and the defense knows when he shifts out wide, it's more than likely a decoy. This is one of them guys where coming into the game, the opponents are going to have to really dial in on. Before it was, where is DeAndre Hopkins? Where's Hopkins at? We got to make sure that we line up accordingly. Now it's David Johnson. If David Johnson's in the backfield, boom, we load the box up. We stay in whatever's called. If he's out wide, boom, does a linebacker go with him or does a safety go with him? Right? Either way, you got to make those calls. Now, if all of a sudden before the ball snap, he shifts back to the backfield. Now, they've got to make calls and get back to a base defense that will allow them to defend the run. David Johnson alone, he's not a decoy. He is a guy that makes that is going to make the defense work pre-snap as much as Tim Kelly wants to make them work. If he moves him, he's making the defense work.
This and we're listening to Tim Kelly. You missed it. He really spoke about the backs. And I think this may be the year of the running back in the Texans offense, at least as he said, using them and using the advantages you can have. He's not the first. We should saw this coming. Deshaun spoke about it Saturday.
Yep.
He said, I never had two guys in my life in the backfield that we can use and play with. He kind of lit up like that. We had Quincy Avery on this show, and we talked about new weapons. And what he brought up himself were the running backs. So they have been apparently looking at this as a part of the offense. I want to give a little pushback to something that you said. I don't know, Clint, if it's an easy thing for fans to just look at and say, because I think fans, when you think like, man, we can really take advantage of our backs in the passing game to really make big plays. I don't think fans necessarily look at that in the passing game, because it was one of the reasons why I said, I think this offense will be better with the offensive line, and I know Hopkins is gone, but they have so many different ways now that they can attack you. And that, because you have such speed on the outside, they are just going to have coverage advantages all the time with their backs that can result into big plays. And as you said, David Johnson is more than just a guy who just catches you know, little routes of the backfield.
Sure, he's a guy that if the defense wants to play man-to-man, now the odds are you don't have enough to go. You don't have enough man coverage defenders. I don't give a rip if you're talking about safeties, linebackers, DBs. Take all that out of the mix. Just guys that can flat-ass cover, right, to cover the Texans. You got Cooks out wide. You got Fuller out wide. You might have Steels in the slot. You got Cobb in the slot. And now all of a sudden – You got David Johnson, who they've got to find either a linebacker or a safety to cover him if they're in man. It's in a man-to-man defense, right? One-on-one, mano-a-mano, David Johnson's probably going to win a lot of those with some pretty creative designs. Now, if you want to go zone, and you want to drop seven or eight defenders into a zone defense, you got backers underneath. You got linebackers underneath, and they've got to cover David Johnson in space now. Yeah. And so any way you slice it, David Johnson and Duke Johnson, the running backs with the Houston Texans, should be a big-time advantage this year. You hear Tim Kelly talking about using them, taking advantage of their skill sets. Now, as a fan, and the fan part of it showed to me, the fan part, like what you should see is all pre-snap. I'm not asking you to look at anything beyond the when the ball snapped. That's next-level stuff. That's a lot of times out of the camera. You can't see it anyway on TV coverage. But if when you're watching the Texans in that first drive, before the ball's ever snapped on three or four plays, you see David Johnson motioning out of the backfield or shifting into the backfield or maybe out and in, doing it both in one play, then you know that Tim Kelly has gotten creative with these running backs, and that's will be a really, really good sign. Now, if you don't see that, then these boys are just blowing smoke. Because one big part of being creative is motions and shifts. One big part of creating disadvantages is motions and shifts. A big part of making it easy for your quarterback, showing him what coverage it is, motions and shifts. If that's not part of your offense, like consistently, and you're not really good at it, then you're not doing everything you can to create those disadvantages that Tim Kelly just talked about.
Clint Sterner and the show here with you on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. And fellas, we can't move here another minute without... Can we give a round of applause? Christian Javier. My goodness, son.
Come on,
Christian
CJ.
Christian Javier. Again last night, six innings strong, one run. He didn't have the strikeouts that he had against the Dodgers, but he was still, again, terrific. I mean, again, terrific. We said it yesterday. We said, boy, tomorrow's game is big, or tonight's game is big, we said last night, because you'll get to see if Christian Javier, if you really got something.
Come on, man.
And now he backed up that performance. He said he was calmer. He was cooler. He said he was more confident on the mound, and it showed. Six innings. He's thrown the most innings of anybody on the team.
Really?
Yes.
Show the confidence just exudes, man. When the dude's on the mound and when he's rocking and rolling, we left the meeting. We had a team meeting here with our 610 crew, by the time I got home, it was fourth inning, right? So I sit down, and you obviously know he's doing well because he hadn't given up a runner. Maybe at that point he'd given up one run. But then dude just is confidently in the fifth inning just ripping it and throwing strikes and having great command. And you can tell the hitters are struggling the second and third time through the lineup. I heard this morning. This is Los Correa. This is Mr. She Knows. Talking about Christian Javier.
I think Javier is going to be in a rotation for a long time. He's nasty. He's got great stuff. I like his composure on the mound. The kid's got it all. So I like the way he attacks hitters. I like the way he handles everything in such a big shoes that he has to fill. You know, he's great. I think he's going to be here for a long time.
He's sitting right behind him watching every pitch. At short, he's sitting right behind him watching every pitch. At understanding what he's doing to get folks out.
I tell you what else he's doing is he's stepping to the plate.
And doing work.
But there's a goose egg or a one over there in that other column. And so they're doing work and he's not, they're not, there's no pressure. You just go up there. It's 8-1, baby. It's 7-1. It's 6-1. I mean, he's stepping in the batter's box with zero pressure, knowing he's got a guy rocking and rolling on the mound, man. Christian Javier it's early. But the sigh of relief right now is on Christian Javier in a big way.
Yeah, big time W last night for the Astros, and they'll go game two against the Diamondbacks. Lance McCullers going tonight. We not only heard from Tim Kelly, but we heard from defensive coordinator for the Texans, Anthony Weaver. He has passed every test thus far with flying colors, but he spoke about something today that I think is the biggest concern for Texans fans with Anthony Weaver. We'll get into that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
Weaver, couldn't be more happy to have Weaver, you know, as our DC and all that. And he's done a great job. You know, he's taking everybody's talents into account as far as putting in place for this defense.
You're damn right, Dirty. How could you not be excited about this guy? I mean, Anthony Weaver, it's tough when you just hear him speak To hell with he sounds like a head coach. He sounds like he could run for office.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to bring the word on Sunday. He sounds, I mean, he just something about him is calming, and you're just like, man, that guy sounds like a leader.
Yeah, look, the new defensive coordinator for the Texans, Anthony Weaver, he is definitely a guy that he makes it more difficult on everybody else. It's one of those deals where when he speaks.
Like, hell's got to follow that guy.
Right, yeah, right. It's like that old boy. When I was playing with the Cowboys, I told you that Randall something. Anyway, he ran a 4.40 on a track. 4.40. Handheld 4.40 so on a track.
Almost as fast as Miles Straw.
And we, he's just right. Hey, everybody looked at him and was like, who's running next? Oh, Rocket Ishmael said, I'll go, boys. I'll go.
He made the team on that one.
I mean, hell, he made about six teams on that one. Couldn't catch a cold in the dead of winter butt naked, but he was a receiver. But tough that sucker, cold. Hey, he'd be the first one down on that damn punt team as a gunner or on the kickoff team. He's the first one down there. But, yeah, when Anthony Weaver speaks, it's kind of like my man that ran that 4.40. Like, the next guy that steps up better be confident. Like, you better have some confidence in your ability. So when he speaks, it's one of those things where, like, Tim Kelly pales in comparison, just from the presidential aspect. Bill O'Brien pales in comparison. Even Jack Easterby pales in comparison when you hear these guys talk. So, look, there's no doubt Anthony Weaver, that sucker, I don't know what he's going to do as a defensive coordinator. So I really don't. But I know this much. If winning the press conference means anything, that sucker wins the press conference.
Just give
now.
Him the mic, man.
That's
just,
it.
Just give him the mic. But, however, our guy here, co-host of the morning show, Payne and Pendergast, Seth Payne asked the question in which he gave the answer that may have some concern to some Texans fans. Seth asked the question of what is it like and what are the responsibilities like of you coaching the defensive line as well as being the defensive coordinator, because he still has the title as the D-line coach. This is Anthony Weaver. Try not to get swept by his beautiful voice and tone and presidential aspect, but just kind of listen to the words and the thought process of him coaching both things.
It's going to be about time management, right? It's about time management, making sure I don't neglect any of my duties as it pertains to getting those guys on the defensive line right individually. But I can do it. I can do that. It's an obstacle, right? But what are obstacles there for? It's like you got to be like fire. You take those obstacles, you grow, you get better as a result, and I can handle it. But not only can – it's not just me, right? I got a tremendous amount of resources with me. I got Akeem Dent, who's helping me right now with the defensive line. Romeo, obviously, has a defensive line background. So whatever I do, if there's ever a time where I do feel overwhelmed or I need help, there's certainly people for me to lean on.
There's just overwhelmed. That jumps out, please. That I don't even want to hear that if I'm a Texans fan. And like I said, he's passed every test with fine colors so far, but that there is the only thing. First-year defensive coordinator and coaching the D-line, you have played in this league. You know how much is on the plate of different coaches.
Yeah.
How big of a concern is that to you?
I'm not concerned. I mean, it has a lot to do with what I hear from Anthony Weaver. I think he's got one – the guts to stand up and go, and then the wherewithal to stand up and go, guys, we've had a week of training camp, and I need to oversee everything, every opportunity I get, so I can't spend all of the individual time in practice, the individual periods in practice working with the D-line and have my focus so narrow for that period of time. I've got to be able to focus on everybody and focus on whoever needs my attention. I think he's a guy that will understand. He will juggle that very well. But more importantly, so I really believe that the confidence that you hear him speak with about this situation, I think it stems from Akeem Dent. Akeem Dent is cut from the same cloth. He's a six-year NFL vet. He played with Houston and the Atlanta Falcons. He's entering his second year as a Texans coach. He shadowed Anthony Weaver last year, and so I'm not saying that he's the caliber coach that Anthony Weaver is, but I do believe that he understands how Anthony Weaver wants his D-line to be coached. Whether we're talking about the energy and effort that he wants his D-line coach to coach with on the field, or if it's the attention to detail that he wants his D-line to be coached with in the meeting room. I believe that Akeem Dent's background, being a former player, his familiarity with Romeo Crennel and the Texans defense, his familiarity with Anthony Weaver last year, I think you couch all those things up. My concern level is really low in a sense of, can Anthony Weaver juggle being the quote-unquote D-line coach and the defensive coordinator?
Yeah, it's interesting. 713-572-4610. He's passed every test with flying colors. The only concern thus far with defensive coordinator for the Texans, Anthony Weaver, is you good with him coaching D-line and being the defensive coordinator? And, Clint, you know me. I generally have a strong opinion on things. This one, man, I can't lie to you. I can't lie to you or the people. I can lie to Tyler, but I can't lie to you or the people. Man, I'm on the fence on this, because here's my thing, Clint. I think this defensive line has a chance to really take a step from last year. Yes, obviously, if J.J. Watt is there completely healthy, but even past that, I think Ross Blacklock is a young, potential, big-time pass rusher from the interior, which is the thing that is really playing big, because quarterbacks, as you know, get these three-step drops off and get the ball out quick. When you get pressure up the middle, that helps. Whitney there, and then, of course, J.J. Watt. I think this defensive line has a chance to be really good, and I think the best defensive line coach on the team is the defensive coordinator, Anthony Weaver. So there is a part of me that's like, I really think his help can improve that. But he is the DC, and he is a first-year DC. And I do think that all of his energy should be placed there in his first year. So, man, I'm on the fence on it.
Man, and you should be. I totally understand the concern level there. I do think that if you break it down to the depth that you just did in a sense of what this D-line needs, they got some young players that this defense really needs to step up. And so,
yeah, those fellas.
So they're going to require a little more attention than the secondary. They're going to require a little more attention than the linebacking crew in a sense of who you know J.J.'s going to show up. You know Whitney's going to show up. You know the veterans are going to show up and be ready to rock and roll. It's the Aminahus. It's the Ejiofors. It's the Blacklocks, the Grenards. I mean, those are the guys that are going to need some extra attention. And so I could see where there may be some slight concern about the defensive coordinator dedicating way too much time to just one position. But, man, if he's going to dedicate extra time to anybody, it needs to be the young fellas in the trenches, because that's ultimately where this defense is going to need to improve. And that's where the guys that I think are on this roster and are going to be in the rotation, I think the guys up front that I mentioned, whether it's Ejiofor, Jacob Martin, Omenihu, Blacklock, those are guys that they've just flat, because they haven't signed any more veterans, those guys have to show up and show out, and they got to do it from week one. It can't start week eight or week nine when the schedule eases up. It's got to be from the jump, Thursday night, the 10th. Versus the Kansas City Chiefs, man. So if he's going to dedicate any extra time, show, I'd rather him do it to the D-line than any other position.
From the text line, 832, and this is one of the things that I initially thought, Clint, in a way that what the texter says, effectively delegating, unlike the head coach, Bill O'Brien, who refused to let his staff do their jobs. I'm not going to refuse, but we have seen Bill O'Brien have a lot of hats. More hats than just the play caller, and which incensed you earlier this week when you heard Deshaun Watson say
painful
and didn't have time to be able to meet sometimes because of his other jobs. That is something that comes to mind to me.
Yeah, look, it's definitely something to look at. I mean, hell, if it wasn't, then I don't know that Seth Payne would have asked that question. Yeah. You know, I would be interested in getting with Seth and really. Because when you talk about offensive play calling, or you talk about quarterback coaching, I mean, you're talking about like some extreme time, effort, energy invested in that position. So it's hard to do anything else, much less GM and head coach. I just wonder how much time, energy, effort is invested in by that particular, is needed, is necessary by that particular coach to coach the D-line from somebody that's been there.
All right, Tim Kelly made some comments about the current Houston Texans receivers that really made us wonder, what the hell does that exactly mean? We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
Clint Sterner, we got to hear from the coordinators today. Tim Kelly, he spoke about the receiving core, and that to me, I think, is the number one thing that Texans fans are interested in with this offense, obviously because of the loss of the great player in DeAndre Hopkins, and then the additions to where really you feel like the make or break will be on how good this offense will be for many fans are those players on the outside. All right, he had something to say about the receivers that I believe is accurate, but what the hell does it mean? This is him speaking about these set of receivers that he has now as opposed to what the Texans have had in the past.
With the wide receiver position, okay, we see a lot of talented players with a lot of experience that have come through and have made plays for people in big-time games. You look at Brandon Cooks, who's played in two Super Bowls. Randall Cobb, you know, was constantly in the playoffs when he was with Green Bay. So you've got guys that have played and performed at a high level throughout their careers, and they bring a different style of playing the wide receiver position that we've seen here in the past couple of years. So we're really excited to be able to get those guys out on the grass and watch them run and watch them continue to build their relationship with Deshaun.
That was a new offensive coordinator, play caller, Tim Kelly, speaking about the different style of receivers. We knew they were different. We knew Brandon Cooks and Randall Cobb and this crew is different than the, you know, DeAndre Hopkins. But the gritty, Clint, is, does it mean that equals better offense? Does it mean that this group will be better than it was in the past? It's understanding that it's different, but does that mean better, Clint?
Potentially. I mean, I think it potentially could be better. I think the best way to look at this thing is it's just a different way of playing the position. I mean, obviously, you know, players go about it in different ways, and coaches go about it in different ways. And it's, to me, it's, I don't know, and there's so many variables to know whether it's a better way or was it better in 2019, the way that they approached offensive football at the receiver position with DeAndre Hopkins. We don't know. We got to let the season unfold to figure that out. But that there is definitely a different way to go about it, Show. And the new look Texans, the 2020 Texans, in terms of their wide receivers, they have no choice but to do it a different way. And that different way will be with speed, obviously. Speed kills. Everybody knows that speed kills. When you look at the game at the receiver position from 2016 to 2019, and you look at the top 10 receivers in the league that have the list with the most yards per touchdown, you got Kenny Stills is number 7 with 30.2 yards per touchdown. You got Brandon Cooks with 27 yards per touchdown. And you got Will Fuller with 26.8 yards per touchdown. Mm. Speed kills, ladies and gentlemen.
They're all on the same team.
Yeah, right. They're all on the same team, baby. With a quarterback that his mid-range game to his deep balls are as good as anybody in the game.
But PFF had him second best in terms of downfield throws to Russell Wilson.
Yes, sir. When you look at it, what does that mean? Well, obviously these cats can run, and that's where it all starts with them. DeAndre Hopkins was more of a dominating physical presence at the receiver position that loved contact, felt better when he was tied to a defensive back and could go make the play with his physical dominance. These guys are across the board, because don't forget Randall Cobb. I just rattled off three guys' numbers in terms of touchdowns. Don't forget Randall Cobb last year averaged 15-plus yards per catch with the Cowboys. So he has the ability to get over. Yeah, from the slot. He has the ability to get over the top as well. But the key here is not just the speed. I think it's unfair to talk about these receivers and go, well, yeah, they can all run. They're all deep threats. Because the truth of the matter is when you look at, and this is how they would rank for me, you go Cooks, Fuller, and Steels. When you talk about the speed guys, that's how I would rank them in their route running, right? Their route running ability, Cooks is nasty. Yeah. Cooks is a freak with the route tree now.
Any route.
That's it. Yeah. That's it. They know how to use the speed is where I'm going with this thing. And I don't mean just to get deep. I mean when a defense mans them up and puts a defensive back on an island and that defensive back is backpedaling trying to cover these guys, they use their speed to get the defensive back to flip his hips and run as he's scared he's going to get beat deep, and then they know how to sit down and run the curl, run the dig, run the comeback, run the stop. You know, they've got so much speed, and they know how to use that speed. That's the combination is what's nasty. I told you last segment about a guy I saw run a 4-flat 40. There was no combination. It was all gas.
That's it.
All 40. I mean, it looked like a deer in headlights when you threw a football at him, and he played the receiver position, right? Didn't like contact. So he had a problem. He was fast as hell, play special teams, but playing receiver was tough even when you're that fast. These guys have the unbelievable speed, the top-end speed, the ability to go get the deep ball. I just told you they're of the top 10 receivers since 2016. They're number 7, number 8, and number 10, I believe, is what I rattled off, in yards per touchdown. And we ain't talking about guys have 2 or 3 touchdowns. You got to have 15 yards, 15 touchdowns or more just to get on that list. These guys are in the top 10 since 2016 in big play touchdowns. And so they know how to go deep. They know how to use that speed to create opportunities with other routes, which in turn show whose job does that make significantly easier?
I got to believe number 4.
Deshaun Watson, baby.
And that's what it's about. Like, you're just catching in with us. This is Clint Sterner and the show right here on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. Tim Kelly spoke of a different style of receiver that the Texans have as opposed to previous years, but the question is, does that mean a better offense? And listen, I like your response of potentially, because I don't want to disrespect the greatness of DeAndre Hopkins.
Right.
That's what it's about here. Can they collectively be better than that? But there is real credence to what you've said. The two things that are, I would say, the flaws, small flaws of DeAndre Hopkins is his ability to not get separation consistently.
He's not a good route runner.
And his route running is not always great. A lot of it because he could just go up and body people. And those make tougher throws. This group, right, should be able to make throws easier for number 4, and that's what it's about. So potentially, yes, you can see the thought process of why it could be better.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Look, and it's these guys are technicians with their routes. And again, I don't know that it's going to amount to statistically better, whether I'm talking about yards or we're talking about points or we're talking about wins. I don't know. I'm just telling you, as a Houston Texans fan, here's what you need to be talking about. Is not, oh, hell, what are we going to do without DeAndre Hopkins? Is the guys you got now can go, and it's going to look different. And they're going to run routes and use their speed to create separation. DeAndre Hopkins just didn't want to do that. It's not a fact whether he could or couldn't. It's just he didn't need to do that in order to be productive. These guys need to do that. And I'm telling you, from an old quarterback's perspective.
That's what I was going to say. How would you – like, which one would make you feel more – comfortable to which style would make you feel more comfortable in terms of what the receivers are doing from this, past years or this
style here, the style of being a technician in your route and me feeling confident letting the ball go on the fifth step or the seventh step or the third step, letting the ball go in rhythm and knowing that you're going to create the space for me to not have to be perfect. And then it just boils down to me as an NFL quarterback and you as an NFL receiver be able to play catch. And that's what these guys bring to the table. And I believe that what we've seen on film, these receivers do that at an elite level. Even Kenny Stills can do it at an elite level. Even Randall Cobb, who's not necessarily a speed demon, is a guy that can create separation with the best of them from the slot position. And so when you talk about making it being more quarterback friendly, making the visual, the read, making it more clear to the quarterback of if he's covered, don't go there, move on now, right? If that corner is sitting, then you go to number two in your progression. And if that linebacker is undercutting that tight end or undercutting that slot receiver, then damn it, you go to number three in your progression. And when you get to whoever's open, that technician, that great route runner who uses his speed well, it will be blatantly obvious. That guy's open. Get him the football. And so it'll be a cleaner picture for the quarterback. And it'll also, we talk all the time about what Deshaun Watson needs to work on. Get through progressions, right? Cleaner pictures, clearer pictures, pre-snap and post-snap should help him develop and get through progressions, which is a weakness of his game to this point. It's a weakness of all young quarterbacks' game early in their career. He's got to get better with it, and the good, clear picture that these receivers have the ability to present to the quarterback will help him in that.
Yeah, and to me, I also hear, man, to me it seems like that puts more pressure on the defense in terms of how they're covering. Is not just, all right, I know what this guy is going to do and where he's going to be. No, this guy is going to be precise and run different type of routes. There's not a limit to what kind of routes he's going to run. There are some receivers where secondary coaches and coordinators say, well, we know he's just going to run these three routes. Like we don't even have fear that this guy is going to run a slant. We don't have any fear because these are the things that he can do, right? And so this group to me seems to be much more. I know you don't want to hear this, versatile in terms of the things that they can do in a route.
There's zero doubt about it. Is where these guys are going to excel is immediately when the ball snap. The fear of getting beat deep is real. I don't care what defensive back is over there. The fear of getting beat deep is immediate and it's real. And off of that, if the receivers can run good routes, which they can, and they're very confident in, whether it's out, in, deep, shallow, it doesn't matter, these guys can run phenomenal routes. And that is what is going to be different. And again, whether Tim Kelly and Deshaun Watson can take advantage of it, I don't know. We'll see. But I do believe that there's a different looking offense coming in 2020 in terms of the pass game. I believe it's going to be a total different look. And Deshaun Watson, his development is obviously going to drive that. Tim Kelly and his willingness to get creative is going to drive that. But the receivers that are wearing Houston Texans uniforms in 2020, they got a lot. They bring a lot to the table, man.
They do. Clint Sterner and the show here with you till 6 o'clock. And that's a big reason. You know, I put a show stamp of approval and I lost it last night. And yes, I will be eating a banana and hot sauce later on.
Sitting right here, little Cholula. Tyler brought you.
I'm so excited.
Tyler brought a little banana.
That's what I was
here,
thinking.
Though.
I see it on the text line. Yeah, about 4:30, I will be eating a banana and hot sauce. What the hell was I thinking? Thanks a lot, Jose Altuve. If you missed it, I said yesterday, I guarantee that Jose Altuve will get two hits, and he didn't. But, Clint, I think, as I said earlier this year, I think that Deshaun Watson has a legit chance to be an MVP. And what we just talked about, Clint, with the receivers, I think this different cast can really help that. And, like, when I think of the biggest person in his way, the MVP isn't just about always the best player. It's about the story, a great story. And I think Russell Wilson is a guy that people are going to want to give the MVP. And Seattle is putting everything they can around him.
Corny ass Russ.
He is corny. Everything around him. And once they get Antonio Brown by week 9, which will happen, once they get Antonio Brown, it will even really be taken up a notch. He's never had a first place vote in the MVP voting. Never had a first place vote, Russell Wilson.
Wow. It's hard to believe.
Yeah, and so it's a story that people will want to push this year. But I think he should be disqualified.
DQ'd, huh?
You said corny-ass Russ. there's a lot of examples of how corny he is. You know, like his nickname he gives himself, Danger Russ.
Danger Russ. That's his Twitter
yes,
account.
Two S's at the end, like his name.
Danger Russ. Okay.
Isn't that
I kind of like that
one. Oh, stop, Clint. You're better than that.
I kind of like
Bulldog.
It. If he didn't, he gave it to himself, though, didn't he?
I'm sure he did. But listen, I want you to hear this. Okay. This right here. This, I've never heard any more lamer. And I've heard Russ do a ton. This, to me, should disqualify him from the MVP race.
Hey guys, Russell here. Yes, the typical boring, yes, Russell, robot Russell, the one you guys love to know. I'm real excited. But anyways, everybody has to have an alter ego, right? And I've been thinking about what my alter ego would be, and I think I have an alter ego. His name, Mr. Unlimited. Yeah, you gotta be unlimited. You know, you gotta have a thought process of being unlimited. So when people ask you what you're thinking about or what you want to do in life or where you want to go, you gotta be unlimited. Tell them, I'm unlimited. You know what I mean? So when they ask you certain questions like,
who brings you motivation, Russell?
Mr. Unlimited.
Who's your role model, Russell?
Unlimited.
Who is your go-to person for advice, Russell?
They think Pete Carroll. They think this person, think that person. Love you, Pete, but it's Mr. Unlimited. Tell them.
I don't get it.
No one should get him. What the hell is wrong with him?
There's only one thing I can think of when I hear that man talk. You're a Fresh Prince, a Bel Air fan, right? Show, we've talked about it.
Yes.
You know Carlton, right?
He's worse. I won't even do that to Carlton. He's worse than Carlton. I got this dance, by the way. The Carlton dance, I can do it with ease. It's not unusual. Yeah, I can do it. Seriously, it's a serious question. How did he pull her off? How did he pull Sierra off?
Well, started out with he's got a pretty good shtick.
Is he that good looking?
He's a good looking dude.
I know he's good looking, but is he that? She dated Cam Newton before him.
Well,
that time with Lil Bow Wow, but that, you know, we don't hold that against her. She dated Cam Newton. Does he look that
good? Whose kiddo does she have before she met Russ?
Future. Dated Future. And then she went to this lame guy?
Well, she tried all the different flavors, and she decided that the corny quarterback was
Mr.
the way to
Unlimited?
Go, man.
Mr. Unlimited.
The voice change is what's real. Like he went from corny ass Russ
Mr.
voice
Unlimited.
to how he probably acted like when he gets in the streets and has him like the Mr. Unlimited. That's Russ in the bar. Or in the club when he's got a glass of hen. When he got some hen on a big bottle.
Hen.
You know, he all of a sudden gets that voice deep and turns into Mr. Unlimited.
Mr. Unlimited.
Yeah.
Nobody thought to themselves.
That's Russ in the club right there at midnight with that hen in the cup.
There was nobody that sat there and said, nah, let's not do this. Let's not.
Unlimited.
That's hen Russ right there.
How did he pull off Sierra? I know I'm cooler than that guy. I know I am.
I know how he pulled her off.
Unlimited.
You think it's that? Never mind. All right, coming up, the stories Houston needs to know. The Big 3 at 3 coming up next.
Unlimited.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.